Last week, actually, on Thursday, I spoke to Rav Jake Shear, and I had this chus, I think the first time in my life, maybe the first time ever, but everything changes now, so everything's first. Somebody Skyped in from Istanbul, Turkey, Stark, and I gave the shear to him, and I was like so excited to put it on YU Torah, and unfortunately, for some reason, it didn't tape well. So I thought that was a sign that Rabbeinu Shalom doesn't want me to give a shear on Corona and losing money and the effects. And then I said, no, that's not the way I think that's... I don't think that's true. I think I have to try again. That's what Hashem wants me to do. And maybe I can make the shear even better than it was this time. And as I pointed out to you, for anybody to use the words, you know, this is unprecedented in the history. This is unprecedented in the world. Anything like this happening, and like it seems like doomsday, like every day it gets worse, every day it's something else. And I understand, and I appreciate, and I know how difficult it must be to know that you're basically kicked out of a place and then have to come back to the place, hopefully, but you don't know if you're going to come back, and then you got to find the flights, and I just can imagine how difficult that must be. I want you to recognize how difficult it must be to be with your entire family, 7 people in one house, for the next 6 weeks. My flight was supposed to be tonight. I was supposed to go to America, so too bad. It's difficult. But I think this is a great opportunity for us to think about business. With yesterday's edict by Bibi Netanyahu, I'm sure there were many, 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 many business proprietors who said, my life is over. I have no business. I own a this, I own a that. There are very specific people who are doing well now, and they're not a lot. Right? The supermarket guy, maybe, is trying to figure out how to get all the stuff there. Pandemonium in the supermarkets. I've been to the supermarket. I'm sorry to tell you, I'm one of those people. 3 times in the last 3 days. Because I kind of believe Netanyahu that there's enough stuff. But I also have 7 people in my house. And today they went through about 8 eggs and a loaf of bread. So it's scary. But the guy that owns the tour company, and the guy, Nebuch, that owns a catering business, right? And the person, what do you do? It's crazy to say, but on Thursday, I was in the supermarket. It was crazy. But all the stores were open, and my wife said, we're not going out to lunch. We normally go out to lunch Thursday. She's like, I'm scared because the people prepare the food and so on and so forth. And so I got something to eat. And I was just thinking, all right, it's not that bad. You know, things will be... And now everything's closed. And I think about the business people, and I'm including myself in this. And I'm sorry to say this, but I want to be real with you. This will happen to you. This is part of life. People lose jobs. People lose this. And this is the Emunah test. And we all think we have Emunah when things are going well. But when things get a little difficult, that's when... we say, whoa, wait a minute. Sometimes we see Hashem. It's so obvious to us. We wake up in the morning, and the sun's shining, and the birds are chirping, and everything's great. And then you open up your stock portfolio, and you're up 28%, as I was just 3 weeks ago. Now down 17. Right? And you look and you say, wow. But these are the times the Rabbeinu Shalom gives us the challenge. I don't know if you remember, but last week, I think it was, it seems like a year ago, but last week, we spoke over a piece of Rav Shofshan Pinkus, which I think is even more apropos than ever. And I'm just going to flush it out a little bit more than I did before. We are now in the time between Purim and Pesach. And there are tremendous differences between Purim and Pesach. Rav Pinchas points this out. Obviously, other Svarim point this out. Pesach, and it's interesting because the Gemara tells us that you're supposed to be Seimech Gula L'Gula. The reason why there's 2 Adars, so the Gemara asks, which Adar, you know, would the real Adar stand up, the Gemara says. So really, if you think about what the real Adar should be, it's obvious to me the real Adar should be the one after Shvat, because that's really when things happen. The extra Adar was, you know, not whoops, but... we need to add because, you know, Pesach has to be during the spring. But the real Adar is the first Adar. So Zakta Gemara, no. You need Smichas Ge'ula L'Ge'ula. There are 2 types of Ge'ula that we see. The first Ge'ula that we saw is the geula of Purim. Let's talk about the geula of Purim. Says Rav Pinkas, the geula of Purim is called a geula mitoch hateva, the regular life, the day to day. In a way, Purim is more relatable to us because that's real life. And that's why, if you guys remember, we said that Rav Pinkas calls the holiday of Purim, Purim. What a strange name. We said this last week, remember? It should be, the holiday's called Lots. Hey, how was your festival of Lots? How was Raffle Day? What a strange name for a day. Lots Day? Nu, Rabbeisa, how can it be? Pesach, God passed over the Jewish people. What a great name. Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the year. Sukkos, keep a Sukkos or Shati. We sat and said, God protected us. Chanukah, Chanu b'chaf hey. I mean, come on. Says Rav Pinkas, because of what we think a lottery is. We think a lottery is something that's haphazard. You know why I won the lottery? I had the right numbers. Right? Like I like to say, I got a system. Got a system. Obviously, it's got to be 18, then 36. You know, that's obvious. God's going to pick those numbers. Nothing's haphazard. Mazel, which is the other, interestingly enough, is that other is mazel, because mazel is not what we think it is. When we say mazel tov to a chassan and kala, and I just want to speak out for a moment. There were two amazing weddings that took place last night. One, Rav Boaz's Masada Kedushin, at 1 o'clock in the morning in Ranana, when they realized that they wouldn't be able to have their wedding on Sunday with more than 10 people. They called their 100 closest friends and Rav Boaz to be Masada Kedushin. They ran to Ranana, and I saw the pictures. Amazing. Mika Amcho Yisrael. And in our own community, last night, Baruch Hashem, I was able to be a little bit involved. Somebody sent out a very, very powerful message. And the powerful message, this woman, Ruti Prince, her daughter got married on Thursday night. She was crying and she said, my niece is supposed to get married tomorrow. And she can't because of the 10 people thing. She's getting married tonight in an hour in, I forgot where, Modi'in, I think. She said, there's only one little problem. We have no food. We don't need food, but if anybody has leftovers from Shabbos, cookies, cakes, can you bring it over to my house? I'm leaving in 12 minutes. My wife and my daughter ran downstairs and started wrapping up all the cakes. What a wedding. What a connection. When you say mazel tov at a wedding, you know what we're wishing the chasen kala? That you should realize that your life of teva, of what we call nature, ain't a life of teva at all. Because Hashem is part of your life. Do you remember when Moshe Rabbeinu, Parshas Ba'aloyscha, is accused by his sister and brother? And talking about their marriage, and the Rabbeinu Shalom comes down himself and says, Lo chein abdi Moshe, l'chol beisi ne'manu. He says, the truthful house, I reside in that house. In the house of a chassan and kala, of every marriage, there is the Shekhinah, if they recognize that there's a Shekhinah there. And they don't fight because they know that everything's from Hashem. And if they're having some financial issues, they shouldn't fight because they know it's from Hashem. It's the Tev, it's the way world works, where there's ups and there's downs. That's what marriage is about. Not everything's amazing like it says in the movies. It's not the way that it is. That's the Teva. And says Rav Pinkas, Purim is our holiday of saying, Hadar Kiblu B'Me'ach HaShverosh. Why did we accept? Because that's real life. We said this, I think. Does anybody know how long the Megillah story was? How many years it took?
9 years.
Yeah. Right? Most people answer 3 months, 4 months. Years! Can you imagine for nine? Say, oh my God, 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 we're going to die, we're going to die, we're going to die. How many wants kills? We're going to die. And you know there are shitas that say, there's different, the Gemara says in the Megillah, why did Esther make this meal for Haman? Why'd you invite Haman to the meal? There's many different answers given. One of the answers is, so the Jews wouldn't think, oh, we got Esther in the palace, we're good. I'm good. I'm good. I got my money invested with smarty pants. Everything's going to be good. No, 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 no. They said, wait a minute, why is Esther having a party with Haman? Oh my God, she's not on our side anymore. She defected to the Amalek side. We really need to daven now. That's teva. That's real life. And then you have those moments in life which are amazing. They're Pesach moments. The time of the year we're about to work on the Gula Gula. They're awesome. They're Nisim in the flesh. You get this job, you get this shidduch, oh my God, I can't believe, this is amazing, wow, I can't believe it worked like this, wow, this is great. They're Esser Makos. Can you imagine the Jews during the time that, well, holy cow, oh my God, no way, did you hear what happened yesterday? There was Sfardea, the key to those are out, oh, Makos Makoros. The splitting of the sea, the Jews are on the high. But that's not real life, Rabbi Isai. The last time I remember the market like this was 2008, the year I made Aliyah. Not easy. I spoke about, right before I made Aliyah, a conversation I had with a friend of mine. One of those conversations you never forget, and maybe similar to this time of the you could think about. This is something for you guys to think about when you decide on your life path. And please listen carefully, because I think this is a good idea. He said to me like this. Your whole life you've been planning for like Aliyah. So you took certain jobs that maybe can get you there. But you also made a decision which was, in my opinion, a pretty bad decision. You decided that when you started working, we both went to YU together, he went into finance. You decided, I want to spend a lot of time with my family. So I'm not going to take a job where I'm going to come home at 11 o'clock at night. Honestly, I think you made a huge mistake. Because I had that 11 o'clock job. And I was coming back and forth. And honestly, I never saw my family. And my daughter had a party in Ghan. Like, who cares? Like, I'm not going to that. And you would, like, make these stupid, like, why would you go? You would go to the Ghan party. You make sure to go out with your wife every week. And I was just making money. And there were a bunch of Saturday nights during the busy season. I'd say goodbye to my wife and come home Sunday night. And I was making money. And let's be honest. What did you have in the bank? What did I have in the bank? Same age as me. I made Aliyah. I was, 30-something. He's 30-something. $1 million in the bank. More than $1 million in the bank. Me? I don't want to say. Million pesos. I don't know. And he says, what's the difference between both of us? Push it. The difference. I'm a millionaire. And you're driving a Toyota Camry. And in 2008... Right now, he said, the market, I lost every penny that I earned. I got nothing. You now have more money than I have. So now what do I have to prove to myself? I'll tell you what I have. I had no emunah and you had the emunah. He was living a life of Pesach and I was living a life of Purim. I was saying, you know what, Hashem? I believe that you're going to help me out, but I want to know that my kids one day will say I was part of their lives. And they remember that when I was at the sitter play and I was at the sitter party and I was at this and that. Yeah. I remember once scheduling a flight. The perfect flight, I always call it. I started working here in Israel, the telecom, and my daughter had a sitter play. Here in Israel, as you see from all the announcements every other day, there's something else. They can't make up their mind. Then they go, oh, and buses? Wait a minute. Buses more than 10 people? Oh, okay, there'll be buses. Right? I can't decide. Fine. So it was my daughter's sitter play. So I called the school and I said, listen, I have a business trip that I need to do. So if you don't mind, can you tell me when the sitter play is? I knew it was in November sometime. And what was the answer? The answer was, yeah, we don't have to tell you. Who do you think you are? You're the president? We don't know when it is yet. I go, what do you mean you don't know? It's October. Just tell me when it is. Fine. So I go, forget it. My wife said, just schedule your flight. So I schedule my flight. God loves me. And of course, the sitter plays Wednesday night. I'm coming back Thursday night. So I say, no. I want to do my hashtadlus. I have to change the flight. You know, it's a whole thing. I change the flight. But it's still got to be the perfect flight now because you got to land. You land at 4:30. You got to make it there. Perfect flight. Beautiful. playing Nashville. And that was the first time ever I'm looking at, oh my God, we got to take off on time, you know, I got to go make a door-to-center flight. In the middle of the flight, two rows in front of me, actually Chabad Chassid says, I'm having chest pains. I'm like, no you didn't. You can't have chest pains, man. So that famous announcement you never want to hear. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, does anybody know how to fly a plane? No. Does anybody know how to... Is anybody a doctor? So it happened to be, I was sitting on the plane next to a guy who introduced himself as a doctor. And I'm like, yo, dude, they're saying your name. Like, they're calling you. And he's like, he just went like this, man. And then all of a sudden, surprisingly, some guy comes wearing scrubs. I don't know why. And the doctor says to me, listen, he says, I'm no cardiologist. He goes, I'm a radiologist. I don't know anything about a heart attack. And that guy that's wearing scrubs also knows nothing about it. You know why? He's a dentist. I said, how do you know he's a dentist? He said, because he's wearing scrubs. He said, only dentists wear scrubs. He happened to be right. Then there was a nurse there. I'm praying to Hashem. They said that we might have to make an emergency landing. I forgot where. Probably Italy, actually. Stop. And we didn't. Finally, comes. The captain has to make the final decision. That's what the halach is. And the captain comes out, and he speaks to the now a real doctor came, and a nurse came, and they both were convinced it wasn't a heart attack. It was heartburn, a little gas. He was okay. And I made it. And they always say, oh, the perfect flight. The Eibishter helped me. So, Katachlas, I made it on time. But back to this story that we told. So, Hashem was clearly giving me a message when this guy met me and this guy told me the story as we were speaking about. That everything comes from Hashem. And yes, you will have to make a decision in your life for good or bad, what profession I choose, how hard I'm going to work. There are many different types of lawyers and accountants and doctors. And you have to decide, am I going to dedicate time to avoid the Hashem or not? And you will have, as I pointed out, you know, it's interesting, even within Pesach itself, we have two concepts that are intertwined with each other. On Pesach itself, right? We have a chiyuv to have lechem oni. We have to have the matzah. We break the matzah at yachat to show that we're like poor people. And then we have dinim, that if you didn't have the matzah beheseba, you should eat the matzah again. And that's the duality of every Jew. Bishvili nivra olam. God created the world just for me. And ani ofer ve'efer. The famous two petaks you're supposed to put, the two notes you're supposed to put in your wallet. On one hand, you're supposed to think God created the world for me. I'm supposed to think right now, what can I do to get rid of this disease? I think it's very important during this time, whether you're able to daven a minyan or not, that you daven for people who are sick and daven for people who don't have parnasa now. People who literally are saying, how am I going to pay my $35,000 mortgage every month? How am I going to pay my taxes? It's unbelievable. And you might think that your parents are okay with their jobs. You don't know what's going on. And if there's no other message than that, that is the business. That's the challenge of every business person. Of thinking to himself, what am I? This duality, even on Pesach of Nisan and Nefilos, even though we said that Purim is the time of Teva, Purim is the time when we look at a raffle and we say, the only way that you win a raffle is, let's understand what happened. Haman was not stupid. He picked Adar because he thought it was the greatest month. He thought that Adar was perfect because Moshe died then. But he didn't realize that the death of Moshe was a tremendous thing for Klal Yisrael because it all gave them a little element of his Ruach HaKodesh inside of everyone, says the Medrash. We emulated the ways of Moshe Rabbeinu. And what the nations of the world don't understand, that when something like this happens, when we have a challenge like this, we have to get better. The amount of emails I've seen and the posts of shiurim that are going on via Zoom and all these other things. It's amazing. Because people are taking difficulty and saying, no, it's got to get better. It's hard for me to believe this. But who would have thought that we're going to reach a time where a yeshiva has the permission to say, without getting sued, you're kicked out. There will be no public shiur. If an 11th person walks in this room right now, I'm sorry, you have to leave. What is this, Times of Rabbi Akiva? You can't daven in minyan. You're sitting, it's hard for me to believe this. The great Rabbeim that you know, Rabbi Sobolevsky, Rabbi Neuberger, they had a daven in their home. They weren't sick. Maybe the first time they daven b'yichidus. Parshas Parah, according to some shitas, is midoraisa. The Ratzon HaTorah, Hashem says, no, stay at home. So far, we're lucky, although everything changes every day. And we could have small minyanim of 10, literally. I know 100% sure that 10 was a number purposely used. I know that. So that we could try to still have minyanim. Now maybe there's a heter from Shmuel Aliyahu spoke. Maybe it's 20, it's okay. But maybe we should think about that. Did anybody daven this morning and think to themselves, I'm davening for my friend who lives in Teaneck who can't daven with a minyan? We should think that way. The business challenge that we have is that this is business. Sometimes when you get too filled with Bishvili Livra Olam, God created the world for me, you also think the term everything comes from me. A guy told me last week, it's something very startling. I wonder what you guys think if this is true. He said in his experience, he's younger than me, but he says in experience, I've never met a successful business person who just wasn't lucky. He was lucky. He's not that much smarter than I am. That's what this guy was saying. He was in the right place or whatever, or he thought of it. He's lucky. Again, we define luck as God-given luck. It's not really of extra talents that he has. It's amazing to think that way. So I disagreed. I think there are certain people who are just much smarter than I am. But it's an interesting thought. Right? Why is so-and-so have, you know, $50 million and I have not $50 million? It's because he's smarter than I am? No, the Rabbanu Shalom gave them. I saw a very interesting idea. I remember asking Rav Neven Sala this question. There's halacha. I happen to be learning Kitchen Shulchan Aruch at the time, and it says that when a rich person walks into the room, you're supposed to stand for them. I thought, what a haughty thing. Why do we stand for a rich person? And the answer is actually because the Rabbanu Shalom decided that he's not rich because he did something good. Because he had a meaning good as far as, he had a talent, wow, no. Even those people that think, I think about, you know, the company I work for, Netufo. They like invented internet telephone. They invented what everybody does now, and nobody, you know, nobody's calling home for real. Everybody's using it, it's going through the internet. And they were 5 years too early. So even though they were geniuses who invented it, the Rabbanu Shalom said, it's not the time. I'm going to make so-and-so rich from it. So Rav Neven Sal said, you know why we stand up for a rich person? Because God gave them this gift, and now he wants to see what he's going to do with it. Is he going to use his talents for tzedakah and ma'asim tovim and to get other people jobs and to employ people? Or is he going to use it to keep more money? Somebody, my son, pointed out to me, in America, you know, they're not testing most people for the virus. But who was every single person was tested? If you're in the NBA, you all were tested. Right. They're all tested. And how come Tom Hanks knows that he has it? Because he's a Hollywood star. Not because he's smarter than we are. Depends what you use your... So God will challenge you. And sometimes, unfortunately, God will take that away from you because you didn't succeed in the challenge of the teva. You're living in the regular world. I've said this many times. I have friends who I try to contact sometimes. I try my best when somebody asks me about a job, especially students here in the yeshiva, and they send me their resume. I made a pact with myself. I always try to send out at least one person I know the resume. Try to help. Sometimes it's work. The thing I can't stand is when I send that resume to a friend of mine who's title-wise more important than I am. And guess what? He doesn't respond to me. I can't stand that. You know why I can't stand that? Because he thinks he's more important. He doesn't answer any chutzpah. Oh, and I'll call him out on it. I say this one. What do you think? He's so important. Hashem put you in this situation to help other people. Well, I don't know. I don't know if I can. So at least forward it. At least forward it to your own HR department, your own company. You're the CEO, man. A guy contacted me, Mamish, 2 weeks ago. He says, Rebbe, I'm taking a leave of absence from university. Can you find me a job? I said, you know what? Do you want to work in catering? I have something for you. And I hooked him up for an interview. I said to him, I'm not getting you the job because I'm the CEO. So what to do? That's the only reason why you stand up for a... Business life is a challenge. Please don't get me wrong. But the challenge of business life, I'm going to end in a minute. The challenge of business life is where what we're through now. Again, I don't want to use the term unprecedented time. It's unbelievable what's going on. I can't explain it. I don't even know what to say. I have no words because it's so unbelievable. But the Ribbono Shel Olam is challenging us to say, do we have real emunah, not fake emunah? We quoted Rav Soloveitchik last week, and we said the howl that we say at the Seder from his great-grandfather, the Beis Halevi, is not what you think it is. It's not because he got us out of Mitzrayim, it's because we were in Mitzrayim. He used us as a vehicle to get his glory. We had to have Shemud Mitzrayim first in order to understand what it is to be free and free of Adam Tashem. The howl he says, B'chol tzara v'tzara, as the Gemara says in Pesachim, hallel is said only for one reason. We're giving praise that God, you put me through this challenge. And I got through it. I can help other people because now I know what the challenge is. And now I'm going to appreciate what it is to daven in a minyan. And what it is to learn together with even 10 people in a room. Do you know how much it hurts me to know that this is probably the last time I can give shir for God knows how long? It's my chiyus. I get up in the morning and say, oh, I have something to do today. It bothers me. So my challenge to you is, Nebuch lo aleinu, I'm sorry, it hurts me that I let many of you surprisingly have to now figure out how you're getting home. My challenge to you is, and I know Lev HaTorah will do a great job with Shurim, I'm sure your Rebbe will have all, take advantage of it. Learn more. If you're stuck at home, fine. Make davening special. I saw a Rav quote, very important. He said, I think this is a beautiful thing. When Shabbos comes, if you're stuck in your home, wear Shabbos clothes. Don't pretend that, you know, it's... And he says, make a shul in your house. I like this idea. Make a shul. Any way you can, whatever it is. This is my makom tefil. Not today I'm going to daven here, as somebody made a joke. He said, well, today I'm davening in the living room. But tomorrow I'm making a breakaway in the dining room. You know, like, there's a better kiddush there. It's cute. But make a makom tefil. Know that you're being challenged right now of Avodas Hashem. If you're going to go home to a place, Nebuch, that you can't, but certainly if you're going home to a place that you can still dominate a minion, you're so lucky. You know, every time I'm in America, I think about this. I know this sounds a little weird, but you know already that I'm weird. It bothers me that I don't get Birchas Kohanim in. Ah. And once in a while, I go on a Shabbaton. A few weeks ago, I was on a Shabbaton, and it was a Sephardi Shabbaton. So the Sephardim do, I'm going, ah. Birchas Kohanim. And now, this morning, we had made a minyan on Iraq, Baruch Hashem. We had 10 people, no Kohen. Now, the question, what are they going to do with the Torah? This is what I chalish for. This is what I my connection to Hashem. This is it. This is the Ahava I have with Hashem. This week's parsha, we're going to read Vayakal Pekudei. V'shachanti b'soichem. The whole idea of the Mishkan was, I'm going to bring my presence in this world. I'm here. God says I'm here. We should be zaycha, guys. Take these messages, the challenge that you're in, and succeed in the challenge, and realize this is part of Teva. This is part of nature, but not the way Goyim refer to nature. Nature is not God. This is Hashem. Nature is God. This is Hashem. Hashem is with us now, and he's saying, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're going back to a place that has a minion? You're not going to go to minion? Are you crazy? Do you know how many thousands of people would love to dominate a minion? Nebuch, people love to say Kaddish. You can't say Kaddish?
people who wish they had $25,000 to learn in yeshiva, now you can't, but you have a Rebbe, I'm sure, who will give you shurim online. You can go on to YU Torah and listen to some of the greatest gedolim. That's the challenge. That's what business is about. You're going to have ups and downs, and sometimes you're going to look around and say, how am I going to pay my vendor? I don't know how to pay the vendors. I don't know what to do. I have no money. $500,000, Rabbi Yisai, of revenue lost on Shabbatons I lost over the last month. $500,000. What am I supposed to do? Put my hands up and say, oh, well, we'll declare a bankruptcy and not pay? No. Let's figure it out. Let's work through this. I got a Muna. There's a reason for this. We should be zeicha that the reason why this is happening to us is that God's ultimate challenge to us is such a cool challenge. We don't even know it. We read Parshas Parah yesterday. You guys got to actually hear Parshas Parah, as opposed to a lot of people couldn't hear it from the Torah. Because God was preparing you, as the Hasidic masters say, for the Parah Duma. Because in a few weeks from now, we're going to bring the Korban Pesach. And your planes are going to turn right around and come right back here for you to bring the Korban Pesach. Because you would be from the first, because you were here in the time that you could have been here, should have been here. And now, Nebuch, you have to leave, okay? But we're going to bring Korban Pesach, and everybody's going to be there in the base of Israel. Oh my God, Rav Hartzi, you were totally right. Look, Mashiach, you were right. It's not doomsday. Baruch Hashem, we have enough toilet paper, though. Thank God. Mashiach's here. Shavizach HaTashim, Mashiach's the Kingdom of Mehrevi, Amenu, Amen. God should give everyone here strength during this time. Should not have fear, because we have one person, and one person alone, Avinu Shavashamayim, that Emir Tz Hashem will help us through this difficult time.